بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. السلام عليك سيدي ومولاي يا رسول الله. السلام عليك سيدي ومولاي يا أمير المؤمنين. السلام عليك سيدتي ومولاتي يا زينب. السلام عليك مولاتي أم الحسن والحسين، يا سيدة نساء العالمين، أيتها الصديقة الزهراء. Salutations upon you, beloved lady زهراء. Salutations upon you, beloved mother of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. Salutations upon you, O mother of Lady Zainab, Umm al-Masaib, Lady Zainab. Lady Zainab, dear brothers and sisters, if we go on the journey of Karbala and live the moments and live the nights with the family members of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, if we follow the footsteps of our beloved Lady Zainab, one of the moments that bring the aches to the heart is when Lady Zainab alayha as-salam it came back to Medina. The first thing she did is visit her grandfather's grave, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Imagine with me Lady Zainab alayha salam standing before the grave of her grandfather. The words she said, the words she uttered, As-salamu alayka sayyidi wa maulai. She said, Jaddah ya Rasulullah, Grandfather Muhammad, have you seen what they have done to us? Sayyidi Hussain, Gharib Shaheed, Madloom, As-salamu ala al-qatil al-madloom. السلام على سيد الشهداء. السلام على الشيب الخضيب. السلام على الخد التريب. السلام على البدن السليم. السلام عليك سيدي ومولاي يا أبا عبد الله الحسين. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. صلوات بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Dear respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Holy Quran, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قل كل يعمل على شاكلته فربكم أعلم بمن هو أهدى سبيلا. قل كل يعمل على شاكلته فربكم أعلم بمن هو أهدى سبيلا. فربكم أعلم بمن هو أهدى سبيلا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات Dear respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And again, I thank you for making the time tonight to come and join us so we can commemorate the events of Karbala, so we can remember the events that took place led by Imam Hussein salamullahi ta'ala alayh, who brought his family, his children, his own family, the woman, the children, he brought them with him to the land of Karbala to witness the day of Ashura. There was a purpose. Imam Hussein alayhi salam clearly knew the events of Karbala in details. He knew what will happen on the day of Karbala in details. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he knew the atrocities that were facing him in details. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam understood every step he took with his family members in details. The question that some may bring forward, if the Imam alayhi salam knew that, he should not have faced, he should not have done this, because he may be committing wrong and haram, because he is putting himself in danger, he's putting his family in the way of danger. Dear brothers and sisters, we talk to those individuals. Now, some may be the people who want to label themselves the reformers, those who want to reform religion, and those who want to modernize the way we look at religion. So they are trying to examine every single fact and trying to weigh every principle. And there's nothing wrong with assessing principles and reviewing facts. There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with approaching this with a doubtful mind in order for you to reach certainty. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. You cannot argue with someone and tell him or her you cannot question. That is wrong. What is wrong is when they not only reach their own conclusion, but they refuse to accept a conclusion other than theirs. If they think that Imam Hussein alayhi salam did wrong, that is their own conclusion. But when someone else reaches a different conclusion, they have to also accept it. Because we're both trying to what? Exercise free thinking. Now, obviously, if let us assume someone was examining all the events of Karbala and God forbid, for some reason, they said, and God forbid, did I say this disclaimer out loud enough? God forbid, they came to the conclusion, Imam Hussein alayhi salam did something wrong. Well, one thing, can I fight, can I make this person a disbeliever? No. He came to a conclusion, but here's a thing that I will not accept. To label this person who comes to this conclusion that he is a follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. He can come up with any conclusion. You can come up with the conclusions of Ahlul Sunnah. That's fine with me. But it's important to label yourself as such. The problem that we have is when someone comes to a conclusion that goes against the mainstream thoughts of the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, and he wants to dodge this and put it and insert it, and whether anyone else likes it or not, says this is what the mainstream Shia believes. No, it's not. It's fine. Come up with any conclusion you want. That's your own mind, your own thoughts, and you are responsible for it. As followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we should not fight those who are trying to seek information and trying to think. Where is the problem? As followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, we need to defend the right of the label of followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. There is a general consensus on the understanding of what a follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and that school of thought is and continues to be. And this is where we defend and say, no, brother, sister, it's fine. Some people say, why do we still cry on Imam Hussein alayhi salam? I had individuals after a majlis a few years back that came to me with a good heart. They didn't mean anything wrong. They said, Sayyid, this was a great majlis and everything, but why are we crying? We should celebrate, we should clap, we should be happy for such a heroic man like Imam Hussein. And she kept on calling, talking. I said, sister, that is fine if that's what you believe, but why don't you listen to the rest of the tragedy? How can I be happy and joyful for a tragedy? If your mind accepts it, mine doesn't. And furthermore, it's beyond my mind and her or his mind. We have narrations from Ahlul Bayt telling us we should be sad. Telling us that shedding the tear, you will get so much reward. How should I or could I be joyful and celebrate? So here, the question is not if we question things. No, we should. We ought to. We have to. Some of the narrations, some of the stories that we hear on the minbar is absolutely wrong. I tell you right off the bat. Some of the reciters run out of stories. They make up stories on the go. This is there. It happens. And it's wrong. We do not accept it. We reject it completely. It doesn't mean that because few people make few mistakes that we reject everything. That's not acceptable. It is not acceptable that we accept either both extremes. We don't accept everything, but also we don't reject everything. We need to have the mind, the sense, to look into what is being narrated. Let me give you this example. Some of the text that different reciters go back to if they're not scholars and if they're not well learned, they look at it in their own language. Now what happens? The original text of the tragedy of Muharram took place what? Was written in the Arabic text. And then it was translated to Persian. Then maybe some of it translated into Urdu or other languages. And now we have it being translated into English. And I tell you, a lot of that translations, even in English, is not accurate. We have a problem. So a true reciter and a scholar who is looking for the accuracy of data needs to look at the original references and examine them, because even the original references, they narrated the stories from one person to another. Some of the narrations took place from the other side, not only our Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. And that's why when we have all these narrations, the true scholar, the person who is well learned, tries to look at the source, examines the source, and then relates the story. So it's okay if some of the things, hold on, they don't make sense. I know in some of the reciters, in one of the evenings, one time when I was a kid, I listened and I was like, hold on. Imam alayhi salam was talking to Abbas alayhi salam, and Abbas went and fought and was martyred. Then as he was in Imam alayhi salam fighting, suddenly he mentions Abbas in the battlefield. Okay, you just said Abbas alayhi salam was martyred and killed. Why are you bringing back in the battlefield? I understand in Ahlul Bayt everything could happen, but the fact is, in the event of Karbala, that didn't happen. So why do you insert it? Do you see the difference? We're not saying that Abbas alayhi salam can resurrect, of course. They are Ahlul Bayt. Al-Abdu Salih, the righteous servant of Allah. Al-Abbas, and what do you know about Abbas? And how do we understand Abbas alayhi salam? But the question, not if it is possible, and not if it's probable, because we don't have a source that said such an event took place. That's why we reject some things, but also we have to accept some things. We have to accept the few numbers that were fighting against the many that were fighting against the camp of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. These numbers, at the same time, some will say, come on, that's so much. At the same time, we ask ourselves this very important question. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, knowing all this, could he have done this? Of course. Have you not read the Holy Quran? Didn't you know? Didn't you read about Ibrahim alayhi salam? Did Ibrahim not know what the disbelievers are going to go do to him? Yet he stood against them, right or wrong? Shu'aib, Salih, Hud, all of them. Just because you know you will be facing death does not mean you should not go and carry your message. All of our prophets and messengers did that. So if we want to question that in Imam Hussein, and we say that he committed suicide, wal-iyadu billah, God forbid, then we should label all our messengers and our prophets that they were going to commit suicide. We don't have such thing. No. When we believe in something, they were ready to carry it on all the way till the last breath. Knowing, and that's even a higher, bigger responsibility. Because when I know definitely what will happen to me, and knowing I'm carrying something out, look, and let me tell you, no nation can dispute that. Whether you're American, whether you're British, you're French, you're Arab, you're Persian, it does not matter. When we believe this, even in our nation today, in the United States of America, don't we revere those who stand upright for their principles? There is nothing wrong. We respect those. We fight for the principles. Look at what we do throughout history. People fight and stand up for their principles. The problem is what? You need to realize, does your principle justify you giving your life away all the time? First and foremost, let me tell you one thing. In Karbala, we have a certainty because the one who's carrying it is an immaculate, ma'soom. So knowing that this act is carried by an immaculate, we know also the principles that he stands for. Now, dear brothers and sisters, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in this journey, see, he migrated from one place to another. He migrated from Medina to Mecca and then to Karbala. And this is, by the way, the second migration that took place in Islam. The first one was with whom? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. A scholar by the name Sayyid Hashim Ma'ruf al-Husayni, in his book Min Wahy al-Thawrat al-Husayniyah, he mentions, he says, two migrations took place in the history of Islam. One by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina, when Abu Sufyan and the people of Quraysh, the leaders of Quraysh, pushed him out, where he became in the position where his life and his followers were in danger. And not only in danger, because the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the message itself would be endangered. See, the problem is not the life of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he was fearing for his life and he fled. No, that's not accurate. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we look at all his history, we know he's the one who stood firm in the battlefield when everyone ran away. You want to review history? You want to talk about history? You want to talk about courage and strength? Look at Uhud, look at Badr, look at Hunayn, look at all of them. Look at who stood firm when everyone ran away. It was the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi ta'ala alayhi, who always protected him. When we read history, dear brothers and sisters, and we read the Holy Quran, and we look at the verses and examine them, I wish one day I can go through all these verses and examine them with you, and you will see if someone has any kind of reason, they will know why we love Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi ta'ala alayhi, the commander of the faithful Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Why we are so in love with him. Because of the Quran. Because of where he's mentioned. Because of how he's mentioned. Because of the events and what took place and where he was. Now, when we look at Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his migration also took place because of the grandson of Abu Sufyan, Yazid la'natullahi ta'ala alayhi. And we see when Imam Hussein salamullahi ta'ala alayhi carried this out, there was a message. A message that he was carrying and emphasizing on. Look, in the documented sayings of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he says, إِنِّي لَمْ أَخْرُجْ أَشِرًا وَلَا بَطِرًا وَلَا مُفْسِدًا وَلَا ظَالِمًا. I did not come out due to discontent, nor out of arrogance, nor as a corrupter, nor as an oppressor. I didn't come out because of any reasons. وَإِنَّمَا خَرَجْتُ لِطَلَبِ الْإِصْلَاحِ في أمتي جدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. I came out seeking reform, not in the religion of my grandfather, but what? In the nation. I was reforming the nation, the people. There's a big difference. The Imam salamullahi ta'ala alayhi, he is not reforming religion. He's looking at the people, trying to revive them, because people and the principles in their hearts may die down. And we always need this energy so we can be revived. The saying of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the action of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, don't you see how Muharram puts in all the time the energy back into our lives? And that's why Imam alayhi salam, when we see that he went, he saw the people and he was worried about the people, he went out to reform them, to revive them. This shows what? Responsibility. The Imam alayhi salam tells us, I am responsible. And you also should be responsible. You know, you need to look at your community. You need to take on that responsibility. Each and every one of you, in followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, we don't have such thing, someone else will take care of it. Someone has to. And I need to lead the effort. Sometimes we have in the rituals where if someone takes it, then I'm excused from carrying it out. But until someone does, we are all responsible. Burying someone who dies, for example. If no one does it, we are all to be blamed. But as long as someone does it, then we're excused.
And when we want to revive the community, brothers and sisters, look at each and every one of you. Look into yourselves. You're responsible for each and everyone sitting around you. There is a responsibility. When you go home and go to sleep, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever goes to sleep and is not worried about his fellow Muslims, he's not one of them. This is a great responsibility. We need to live this. We need to feel this. We need to breathe this in our actions. But the Imam completes this. Look at the Imam saying, فَمَنْ قَبِلَنِي بِقَبُولِ الْحَقِّ. Whoever accepts me for accepting the truth, not because I am the grandson of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, not I am Hussein alayhi salam, not because I am the son of Lady Fatima alayhi salam, not because I am the son of Amir al-Mu'min Ali, because the truth that I am saying, فَاللَّهُ أَوْلَى بِالْحَقِّ. Because here, the Imam is saying, the truth, Allah Azza wa Jal, to reference the truth to Him, is more important. I am, Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam saying, I'm linking you people to Allah in the truth. This is important, showing us the direction, the why we go after them. Al-Haq. Al-Haq ma'a Aliyun ma'a al-Haq, wal-Haq ma'a Ali. Yaduru ma'ahu haythu ma dar. Truth is with, Ali is with the truth, and truth is with Ali. They never separate. They're one and the same. Why? Because the ultimate absolute truth is where? Is Allah Azza wa Jal. And Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam is one who echoes that truth, who manifests that truth, who shows that truth. Imam Hussein alayhi salam did the same thing. So the first thing is what? Responsibility. Dear brothers and sisters, yesterday we were talking about the three stages. The young, the adults, and the elderly. You and I have these responsibilities towards one another. Responsibility meaning what? I'm responsible for the young, like the I am also responsible for the elderly. I'm responsible as an adult to raise the young. I'm responsible for the elderly to provide them that comfort. As I am someone that young, when he becomes an adult, will always take care of me, as my parents and others in the community took care of me when I was young. We hand over this duty and this responsibility. I need to be responsible as a father in everything I do towards my children. I cannot leave my children alone and say they are someone else's responsibility. If you don't know, realize that fatherhood and motherhood is a 24/7. You never, never have a time off from that responsibility. And the more you're attentive to that, the more you'll see that your children are going to be ones who you'll be proud of. Because remember, these children of yours, they are your sadaqa jariya, your ongoing charity. Not only that, their grandchildren. Imagine, dear brothers and sisters, you want to leave this life? Imagine you leave with no progeny. You take only what you have given. Maybe few things that you taught others. But imagine you pick the right wife to bring the right children and raise them the right way. And they also multiply. In a book, any of you read the book Multiplier? It's a great book in management. How the leader can be a multiplier. What do you mean by that? He means that when he walks into an office area, he empowers everyone, giving them the right tools, and enable them to be the best they can be. And looking at their strength and enabling it. And looking at their weakness and fixing it. He or she becomes a multiplier. So there is not only one leader, there are many leaders. And they all lead a great company, and they lead a great product, and they end up with a great future. When you raise the right children in the right way, you become a multiplier. Why? Your children will also have children, who will also have children, that your ongoing charity is ongoing as long as your progeny is living. Let me tell you one thing. Sometimes you think, how many of us, let me ask you this, think with me. I know it's a bit late, it's Monday, and I know you're tired, it's Monday, right? I know you're a bit tired, but think with me a little bit. How often, what are the possibilities that occur throughout the day that you can make so many mistakes? Every second you can make a bad mistake, right or wrong. Really terrible mistake, right or wrong. When you're driving, God forbid, you can slip and fall. We are so vulnerable to making so many mistakes, it is not even funny. When you calculate it, the possibilities are many. The probabilities go up high. Now, how come we don't make these mistakes? Look around us today. If you look at the statistics, so many people go into the wrong directions. People end up, young men and women end up on drugs. Believe me, I take care of so many social issues and counseling that it is sad to see what happens to some of the young men and young women in our communities. They're followers of Ahlul Bayt. I go into communities, I go into parents, I go into houses, into families. It makes me cry to see that the father is not around. The mother left her children. The children with no parents. They end up taking care of themselves alone. What do you expect them to do? They'll make a lot of mistakes. Those who end up doing, God forbid, getting addicted to gambling, those getting addicted to alcohol, those getting addicted to drugs, those who are getting into the wrong relationships, those who even leave their religion. How come, alhamdulillah, we're able to preserve all this? You know why? Don't think it's always your work. It might be a blessing from your grandfather. He prayed and she prayed. Their prayers were answered and the blessings came out in you. What am I? I'm someone, what have I done? I don't deserve anything that God has given me. But I know my grandfather has done great. My great-grandfather has done great. And a prayer from them, a prayer from my mother, a prayer from my father. You know how many times, oh, alhamdulillah, I did not hit this wrong, did not do this wrong thing while I was driving. Why didn't I do this wrong thing when I was more susceptible to doing it? It's because a prayer was answered. A prayer was hidden in the absence of time and it appeared today with me. Don't ever belittle the way your grandfather looks at you or your grandmother looks at you. To bring a smile to them is to refrain and to refute and to push back a trial onto yourself. You don't know. Believe me, you don't know. You don't know a smile you put on your mother's face. A smile when you kiss your father's hands. What it will do. That's responsibility. The elderly have responsibility towards the young. How many times, sometimes I look at my nephew and nieces and I wonder, subhanAllah, how God protects them. They're so fragile. You know how kids are. Anything could happen. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. But subhanAllah, what happens? It's the prayers of the elders, of the adults towards these children that is protecting them. You don't even think that we are protecting. Believe me, if you're a mother or a father, you know when your kids are young, they're infants, you cannot keep track of them. Suddenly you're poof in the house. You rush, what is happening? And you're like in a panic. And then, oh my God, alhamdulillah, nothing happened. Who protected them? You did? You were sleeping. Who protected them? You did, you were taking a nap, you were so tired and exhausted, and this small kid had to open his or her eyes, and then they started crawling. You cannot stop that. But it's Allah Azza wa Jal protecting them, like He protected you when you were young. But all this Don't underestimate the value of a prayer. From an adult to the young, from an elderly to you to the young. So, responsibility, dear brothers and sisters. Responsibility that you need. You need to take on you. That I will be responsible for this. Now let me ask you. What I need you to ask yourself, each and every one of you tonight, when you go back home, what responsibilities have I committed myself to? What are my responsibilities? See, sometimes you're stuck with something. My children, oh, I'm stuck with them. I can't do anything. I have to take care of them. It's different than saying, these are my responsibilities and I want to take care of them. I enjoy taking care of them. I love the time spent with my children. Because that will, what, by the way, communicates back to your children. They will love the time you're with them. Versus, oh God, Dad wants us to do this again. Versus, no, we enjoy our time with our Father. So you have to ask yourself, what are the responsibilities you committed yourself towards? Not only your children, but your community at large. What have you done? And don't tell me, oh, I pay money. Money is easy, dear brothers and sisters. Who lied to you and told you money is hard to raise? Money is easy. Do the right thing and money will come. Believe me, I know this and I believe in it. I am involved in so many Islamic projects. And I tell you one thing. Let me tell you the absolute equation for Islamic work. Have the right intention and do the work and money will come. Out of nowhere, people will knock on your door and say, do you need help? Do you need support? Okay. Have the right intention. So let me ask you. How many of you sat down to teach their children about the magic and wonders of the right intent? Right intent? What do we usually say? Son, do it. Son, do this. Son, practice this. No. Son, come sit down with me for a second. Let's think about what you think. How you formulate your intent. How you connect the deepest of your inner self to the highest of the absolute. By the way, that's when you create the ultimate love. That's when your child will seek you because he loves you. Why? You're connected to Allah. You connected him to Allah. That's the pure love. The problem is we do it wrong. Do this. Don't do this. Do this. Don't. Okay, Dad, take the time. Build me from the deepest inside. Does that mean I have to spend time and explain things to you, son? Yeah. I have. Let me ask you. Who's the most successful people in their job? A mathematician, a physicist, an engineer, an economist, all of them, the more they understand the theories, the makeup, the ideas, and truly understand it, the more they're what? Creative. They know how to apply it. Application is easy. I can apply, if you know physics, you know how can you apply physics is simple. You know the equation, you apply the form of the equation to the different elements and you find the answer. But you know when you become powerful? When you understand calculus. That is the math behind all this. When you understand the math behind all the physics, you become creative mind. The same thing. When I pray, great, you're praying. But let's understand what's behind the prayer. The makeup, who I'm praying to. Who I'm standing before. Ya Bunay, la tushrik billah. I was mentioning that day, O son, do not associate with Allah. Luqman is a human being like you and I. If you claim the Imam, I cannot follow him, the Prophet is too much, Luqman is a man like you and I. But he called upon his son, he told him, Ya Bunay, la tushrik billah, inna shirka la zulmun azim. Don't associate with Allah. He gave him the best advice. What? He linked him to the absolute. How powerful is that? He linked his son to the absolute. The greatest injustice you did or you can do to yourself is what? Associating with Allah. Now I have to explain to him, what is associating with Allah? What does it mean? What does it mean to associate with Allah Azza wa Jal? I need to talk to you, I need to talk to you, I need to talk to these young minds, because it is you who matter more than anyone else. You know why? You will preserve my thoughts. I am, the value of me is in my thoughts. Why? Because I took on the ideas of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I want you to take on those ideas that I took on first. Then, here's the second thing we learn in Karbala. Listen to what Imam Hussein said. أَلَا إِنَّ الدَّعِيَّ ابْنَ الدَّعِيِّ قَدْ رَكَزَ بَيْنَ اثْنَتَيْنَ. Talking about Yazid. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, this man, he said, he has to put us between two situations. بَيْنَ السِّلَّةِ وَالذِّلَّةِ. السِّلَّة meaning what? When you take out your sword to fight, between fighting or being humiliated. وَهَيْهَاتْ مِنَّ الذِّلَّةِ. Imam Hussein alayhi says, there is no way we will give in like this. He had the resolve to carry on with his responsibility. See, I may say I have a responsibility, but then do I have the resolve and do I have the courage and the determination to go on and defend that responsibility and carry on that responsibility? That's the difference. A lot of us might reach that point where, okay, that's fine, I will do this, this is my responsibility, I attest to it, I commit to it. But then what happens? When it comes to carrying on the responsibility, we give in, we relax, we are not. And look at you, you want to know how committed you are? You want to measure your commitment and how well you are resolved and determined to your principles and responsibilities? Do you want me to give you the ultimate test? Very simple. You answer yourself by answering this question. How committed are you to praying on time? Simple. I'm not going to give you any kind of strange philosophical statement or, you know, how committed are you to praying on time? Especially the morning prayer. How committed are you? See, your resolve, determination, discipline, willpower is all conveyed in the morning prayer. It is so simple. I swear to God, we complicate issues because Islam truly is so simple. Islam is I, is the nafs, is the self. Islam, if you look at it, is the self cleansed. Islam is the self with energy. It's the self alive. So you test your resolution. You test your discipline. You test it in one thing. إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ. That's even worse. Not worse, but it's even bigger of a test. Which one? The Quran tells us in Surah Al-Muzammil about the night prayer. Well, how does he describe it? إِنَّ نَاشِئَةَ اللَّيْلِ. The night prayer. هِيَ أَشَدُّ وَطَأً. الْوَطَ is what? When someone steps on something. He describes the night prayer as something stepping on you, because how hard it is to wake up. It's not an obligated prayer. It is a recommended prayer, and it is before Salat Subh. Lord help us. But what does he say? وَأَقْوَمُ قِيلًا. But it's so good for the self. It strengthens the character. Why? Can you imagine a person who prays the night prayer every single time, how well disciplined he or she is, and how well determined he or she is. I tell you, a person who prays an eye prayer, if he promises or she promises, they fulfill. Right? If they wake up in the middle of the night when they don't have to, I'm sure they're going to do what they promised me. Right or wrong? Training. Takes training. One time I was mentioning this, the person rolled his eyes and said, let me wake up on Salat Subah and pray it on time. Actually pray it at all, that'll be good. It's funny, but it's sad. That shows us, by the way, the health of our community. Now let me ask you this question. Al-Imam Sahib al-Asr wa Zaman alayhi salam, what kind of people? What kind of people will he take? You know, on the credentials, when you look at on your resume, he's not going to see your years of work. He's not going to say your education. I mean, that's all important, but he's going to see, look at yourself, the self, the inner self. How does he determine the inner self? Beyond he's the imam and he knows it all. He will evaluate you based on the self, responsibility, resolve and determination. You pray the night prayer? Come with me. Of course, the night prayer is not just waking up. No, no, no. What did we say in the beginning? Imagine you're someone one time. I remember the story. We were out camping. And I'm not good with camping. I don't like camping, by the way. I was forced into this. So, one of the young brothers, he's a good friend of mine. He's a very good-hearted person. And he opened his eyes. I wasn't doing anything. I just couldn't sleep because there was a lot of noise. So he opened his eyes in the middle of the night. You know, it's very much recommended to pray the night prayer close to the morning prayer, to dawn. Okay, just about half an hour, 20 minutes. But it was like a little bit beyond midnight. So it wasn't even a mustahab time. I don't want you to think that I put any thoughts about the story. But so my friend just woke up. And he looked. I could see him. I was all the way at the end of the tent. And he saw the shadow of someone walking. So he right away jumped. He didn't know that I was awake. So I saw him. He went. He performed wudu, everything. And he stood and prayed a few rak'at, and he went back to sleep. I was like, subhanallah, that's good, but that was really good, you know. I was very impressed, but there was a few problems. It was the wrong direction that he was praying to. So when I felt very bad. I felt very bad towards what happened, so I woke him up. I said, brother, he's like, Sayyid, what's going on? I said, that was so great, you know, I don't want you to lose the thawab or anything, but why don't you pray the right direction? He looked at me and goes, are you crazy? It was hard enough to wake up the first time. I looked at him. He's like, say, just leave me alone. And he went back to sleep. Next day in the morning, I talked to him. I'm like, you know, that I'll never forget this. He goes, say, please. You know, he felt so, after a while, back and forth, he came to me and goes, okay, I feel so awful about this. I said, why? He goes, now I have to admit, because now you really think that I did it the right way. I had the wrong intention. I said, why? He goes, the only reason I woke up because I saw a shadow and I heard a person walking, then deep inside of me, I said, I'm not going to let someone perform the night prayer when everyone's watching. I'm going to do it too, and I'm going to perform the night prayer. He goes, and that's why it seems that God doesn't want to accept it, period. The intent. Dear brothers and sisters, the value of intent is immense. Wallah, wallah. My teachers, my mentors, and everyone that I was trained by and I attended classes, when they taught me ethics and they taught me religion, there is nothing beyond the value of intent. It is so powerful, it changes your life. It is so powerful, it makes things work out for you. But let me tell you one secret. Are you ready for it? I don't know. I think people are very tired. So let me hear. Allahu salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Let me hear a second louder one to give me some more energy. A third one, but do it all together. بحق محمد وآل محمد. It's okay. They're from a different... they have a different rhythm on it. It's good. The value of intent. I'm going to give you the secret and take it from me. You read it in the books of Akhlaq, the books of applied ethics. How is it that if you truly want to have a good intent, Allah will give it to you. But He will test you first. And He will give you everything that follows with that great intent. But He will test you to make sure, not for Him, He knows you, so you can value that intent. And He will test you and test you and test you until what? You realize that value. The test that Allah puts you through is so you can take the value of it. And the same thing, dear brothers and sisters. When you raise your children, Allah Azza wa Jal tests you. Raising the children is not an easy thing. And you will be tested. What will you be tested on? You'll be tested on how you communicate with your children. How you talk to your children. Let me give you another secret. You know the best way to communicate to your children? Every principle you have. You know the best way to teach your children? Every idea you have. You know the best way to teach them your ideals? Very simple. You be it. And it will happen naturally. Intent is so powerful, it moves nations. Intent is so powerful, it gets into the soul of someone else and grabs them from the heart. Intent, it's so amazing, it can move mountains. All in the power of intent. When you know someone's intent is right, you excuse their mistakes. Why? Their heart is in the right place. You have more easier time to make a mistake and forgive that mistake. You know, let me tell you an example. Today something happened to me. Something happened, and with a friend that I respect, I highly respect, I overlooked something. That there was a problem with a schedule that we had. And truly, I felt so bad because they went out of their way. I didn't know how much they went out of their way. And someone else was scheduling things for us. So it wasn't a mistake that I made or they made, but something, a conflict took place. It hurt them a lot because they went out of their way. And it hurt me a lot because I value their time and what happened and how it reflected badly on me. There is nothing, absolutely nothing I can do. Right? Absolutely, there is nothing I can do about it. It happened, but I know if I were in their place and what they did to make that time to come and see me, I would be so mad and I would probably say, I don't want to see him anymore. And I cannot do anything about it. If I was not a believer, what would I do? Just give up and I say, you know what, things are going bad, khalas, that's it, I'm done. But you know what? My intent was in the right place, right or wrong. Therefore, I have the right intent. What did it create? Tawakkul ala Allah. A dependency on Allah that I know I do not control the situation, He will control it for me. So, I felt bad, but I know I'm not in control, He is. My intent will play a factor in what will happen. Why? Because God will only bring the best out of it. Dear brothers and sisters, this is what we have to have a good life. We start with the power of intent. Dear brothers and sisters, when Imam Hussein salamullahi ta'ala alayh took the woman and children to Karbala, he knew what will happen to him. But he also knew, dear brothers and sisters, that when what will happen to him will be carried by someone like his sister Zainab alayhi salam. Ya Zainab, ya Zainab. Dear brothers and sisters, we look at what happened in the day of Ashura. We study what happened in the land of Karbala. When we see someone like Lady Zainab and what she had to do and carry throughout, and to see her brother Hussein, and to see Al-Abbas alayhi salam, and to see Ali al-Akbar, and to see her own children, and to see her nephews, then you know, dear brothers and sisters, there is nothing harsher on Imam Hussein than knowing his own sister, Lady Zainab, will have to take care of the woman and the children. But beyond that, she will have to be the one witnessing the massacre. But beyond that, she will be the one standing before Ibn Ziyad. Even worse than that, dear brothers and sisters, what was so hard? Imagine Imam Hussein knowing all of that she will be standing before Yazid. Dear brothers and sisters, do you have sisters of your own? Imagine how would you feel if your own sister had to stand before your ultimate enemy after he killed you and massacred you? Wouldn't you feel so harsh wanting to protect your own sister? What if that sister is Lady Zainab? What if that brother is Imam Hussein? Wa Zainab. Dear brothers and sisters, that's why it was so hard. They say, when the wife of Yazid, as she was in the castle of Yazid, she heard there were prisoners of war that were brought in. She came and sat down. She saw some women in the corner. She asked them, "Min ayil biladi antun? What country do you come from?" They told her, "From Medina." She saw a woman right in the corner, who all the other women were around her. She saw that woman. She told her, "Do you know? Do you know the house of Ali?
upon Lady Zainab hearing the name Ali. She started crying. She said, yes, I know the house of Ali. The wife of Yazid, she became more interested. She said, you know the house of Ali. Do you know them? Do you know Hussein? Do you know Zainab? Tell me about them. What happened to them? Lady Zainab alayhi salam, the broken heart, she said, you ask about Zainab. She said, you ask about Hussein. As for Hussein, his head is on the spear. There he is. And you ask about Zainab. Ana Zainab. Then they say, and she looked at, she goes, you are Zainab, and that is Hussein. She ran up to Yazid. She took off her veil and she ran to Yazid. Yazid ran towards her. It tried to cover her. She told him, woe unto you. You worry about my hair and you worry about my dignity. What have you done to the family of the Prophet Muhammad? Ah, ya Zainab. Ya Zainab, Ya Zainab, Ya Zainab, Ya Zainab, Ya Zainab. You know whose heart I would love to talk to tonight? The heart of our beloved Imam Mahdi. I don't know how he feels tonight remembering what happened to Lady Zainab. I don't know how he feels upon remembering what happened to Imam Hussein. Wa Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. Let us all rise and talk to our 12th holy Imam. Allahumma kun li waliyika al-hujjat ibn al-Hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaih في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. All together, Hussein, 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 Hussein.
Hussein, 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 Hussein,
لك ولبيك يا حسين لك ولبيك يا حسين، لك ولبيك يا حسين، لك ولبيك يا حسين، لك ولبيك يا حسين، ولبيك يا حسين، لك ولبيك يا حسين، لك ولبيك يا حسين. For you and with you, O Mawla. For you and with you, Hussein. For you and with you, O Mawla. For you and with you, Hussein. When Yazidi slings and arrows, murdered Abbas ibn Amr. When Yazidi slings and arrows, murdered Abbas. When Yazidi slings and arrows, murdered Abbas ibn Amr. When Yazidi slings and arrows, murdered Abbas ibn Amr. Ashkiya taunted Amola, Ashkiya taunted Amola. You have no one, Ibn Zahra. Ashkiya taunted Amola. You have no one, Ibn Zahra. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayn. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna. When Shabih Mustafa fell, Mawla said this in his farewell. When Shabih Mustafa fell, Mawla said this in his farewell. When Shabih Mustafa fell, Mawla said this in his farewell. When Shabih Mustafa fell, Mawla said this in his farewell. How will I carry you, Akbar? How will I carry you, Akbar? How will I face Umme Layla? How will I carry you, Akbar? How will I face Umme Layla? Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayn. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna. Holding us there, said Amona, Inna lillah but ilahi. Holding us there, said Amona, Inna lillah but ilahi. Holding us there, said Amona, Inna lillah but ilahi. Holding us there, said Amona, Inna lillah but ilahi. Tell me how to bury Asghar. Tell me how to bury Asghar. How to comfort his Sakina. Tell me how to bury Asghar. How to comfort his Sakina. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna. Ridan bi qazaihi wa tasliman li amri Mawla whispered. Ridan bi qazaihi wa tasliman li amri Mawla whispered. Ridan bi qazaihi wa tasliman li amri Mawla whispered. Ridan bi qazaihi wa tasliman li amri Mawla.
a whisper.
Heaven is still reverberating. Heaven is still reverberating from the whisper, from the sajda. Heaven is still reverberating from the whisper, from the sajda. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna.
Laka
wa labbaik ya Husayna. Why are you hiding the Baba from Sakina? Aina bata? Why are you
hiding the Baba from Sakina? Aina bata?
Why are you hiding the Baba from Sakina? Aina bata? Why are you hiding the Baba from Sakina?
Aina bata?
Come to me, come to the maqtal. Come to me, come to the maqtal. Ta'ali layya, ya bunayya. Come to me, come to the maqtal. Ta'ali layya, ya bunayya. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayn. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna. When the zalim tried to suppress forces of freedom and justice, when the zalim
tried to suppress forces of freedom and justice,
when the zalim tried to suppress forces of freedom and justice, when the zalim
tried to suppress forces of freedom and justice,
we will stand up for the mazlum. We will stand up for the mazlum as Husseinis with the Noha. We will stand up for the mazlum as Husseinis with the Noha. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayn. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayna. Laka wa labbaik ya Husayn. For you and with you, O Mawla. For you and with you, Husayn. For you and with you, O Mawla. For you and with you, Husayn. Husayn.